is so amazing.
That's so great.
Jimmy Dykes was a former player manager for the White Sox, too.
And I joked, you know, I flubbed it when I talked with Pat Hughes about it, but that was my favorite piece of trivia. There are two guys whose careers were connected all the way up until 2017, and you can trace them all the way back to the Civil War.
Connie Mack and Vin Scully. Yep.
And to me, like that, like those two guys encompass baseball's history all the way back to the Civil War. It's a pretty amazing thing. Guys, I appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to talking with these guys and seeing you guys tomorrow. That is Bernstein and McKnight. They are on The Score every day from 9 a.m. until noon. You should check out their show and check out their leftover segment that they put on the Twitter.com. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Single-game tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. And this hour of the show is being brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
It's not very often that I have, in the history of Bears coaches, there have been few of the ones that I covered. There have been few that I didn't respect, and I didn't respect Fox for the way that he went about doing his job. And I know from people in that building, I've talked to quite a few of them, that he wasn't well-liked and wasn't as respected as he thought he was going to be. The section says, Fox stabilized the locker room. No, he didn't. Fox brought back a sense of professionalism. No, he didn't.
What was he doing?
Apparently, he was stabilizing the locker room.
What does that even mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes here at the Budweiser Brick House. I'm very excited about today because I've got two Cubs here with me for our on-deck luncheon series. Cubs catcher, here's the thing, guys. Here's what we did. I actually have intros for you both, okay? So we did production for both of you, all right?
Okay.
So, Tony, you ready? Let's introduce Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras.
Throw down the second and out in the inning. What a throw by Wilson Contreras.
Runner takes off, pitch inside, the throw in time from his knees. Wilson Contreras.
A swing and a drive to left field and deep. Back to the wall, that ball is gone. A grand slam. A grand slam for Wilson Contreras.
All right, so see, Wilson approves of that. That was okay. That was
great. That was good.
All right, good. All right, then we did the right thing. So my producer Tony said that we should probably do this and give each of you your own introduction because you're individuals. Yeah. So how about Cubs outfielder Albert Almora Jr.?
And he drives one out into deep left center. Almora will make the catch. Driven to center. Almora caught that one. He is putting on a clinic. Almora launches. Deep left center. Gone is first.
That's some good production work right there. Albert, you approve?
That's all right. Yeah, good stuff.
All right, good. All right, then Tony will not be fired today. And that is a very important thing. Our show today, our on-deck luncheon, is presented by TimberTech. Go against the grain at TimberTech.com and by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. The Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern is located right here, 3647 North Clark Street, right outside Wrigley Field. Gentlemen, thank you for doing this again. I really appreciate it. I'm glad that you guys have a little bit of time to talk. Man, I just wish there was something to talk about. I mean... I wish there was just something that we could discuss. I mean, baseball is such a boring game, man. There's not a lot to discuss. Let's start here with you, Wilson. I just randomly picked something to discuss. What happened with you and Tyler Flowers yesterday?
I do it. I was just having a conversation with the umpire. What bothers me was that I was talking to the umpire, not even to Flowers. And he got into the conversation. So I just told him, do your job, I do mine. And then when I ran the bases, it was a reminder when I had to home play, I told you, do your job, I do mine, that's it. But what bothered me was that he got into the conversation, I wasn't even talking to him, and he irritates me.
So basically you told him to mind his business?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. You know what's funny? This morning I was watching MLB Network, and Sean Casey was talking about this, and he said, look, when I step into the batter's box, if I want to have a conversation with the umpire, that's between me and the umpire. I don't need the other catcher being involved in the conversation. It doesn't have anything to do with him. Is that how you felt?
Yeah, of course. You know, he's pretty good behind the plate getting pitches, and my conversation was only with the umpire because he caught a low pitch on Kyle Schwarber too that wasn't even close to a strike zone, and that was my complaint. And all of a sudden, he got into the conversation, which irritates me. And then I'm glad that I kept my focus on my bat. I'm glad that I was able to put the barrel on the ball. Then when I saw the ball go out of the yard, I said, okay, I'm going to tell him to do his job. I'll do mine.
So when you know it's gone, how good did that moment feel?
Oh, it felt so good. It feels so good. Especially with my emotions. I was around the basic, like, happy but mad, you know, 50-50. When you were like, when you're happy, but you're like, still pissed because of the situation that just happened. And I think that set the tone of the game.
When you came back around and you were still a little hot, I saw Jason Hayward kind of try and grab you. What did he say to you?
Jason is... He's a leader, man. He just grabbed me and said, like, hey, you cannot get thrown out of the game. We need you. We just need you. That's all he said.
Okay. All right. So, Albert, let me ask you a question about this. What's it like to have a teammate that is all about that smoke? Because Wilson is all about that smoke, man.
I mean, as a teammate, you're ready to go as well, no matter what. I mean, I don't know if there's video, but I was right there ready to go too, just because, hey man, that's my boy, and no matter what's going on, if it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. We're family, and I'm gonna back you up too. So, but it's funny to see all this unfold, just because he takes his time when he hits homers, when he runs the bases, he enjoys it, and you know, well deserved. And he was in a full out sprint, and I'm like, oh boy, this is about to go down. You knew, because you could tell on his face, he's sprinting around second like it's a double or triple, and I'm like, you just hit a opposite field homer, and as soon as he hit it, he turned around and says something. I'm like, man, that's we're going down. It's going down right now. So and we've had some history with the Braves, you know, in 16, and you know, we owe him one. So with they beat us at the beginning of the season, so we're coming on hungry.
Are they the baseball police?
Who?
The Braves.
No, I mean, in regards to what? I think this game, I think we're playing the game the right way, man. We play hard, and we have a lot of fun doing it, but we're not going to take any crap from anybody, so.
I feel like Joe set a tone with that early on with you guys, and I think go all the way back to, like, one of those first Cardinals series that he managed, where he basically said, look, we don't start fights, but we're down for finishing them. So when you know that you have the support of your manager, Wilson, what's that like? And what did Joe say to you after everything last night?
No, he asked me what happened. And I explained to him the whole way. I took him through the whole situation. And he'll say, okay, just keep your focus, keep your composure, and don't get thrown out of the game. We need you. That's basically what he said. But
yeah, because it seemed like Tyler wanted to talk with Joe. Like, in the middle of the scrum, he was talking with Joe, giving his side of it.
Yeah, he was talking, and he was explaining himself to Joe. But I'm glad that it was over after that, because Lester was trying a pretty good game. We were focused. We were hungry to win this game, and I think that set the tone of the game, and I'm glad that we won it. We win the game.
You guys know that he was like all on Instagram last night.
I have no idea.
T-Flow, Tyler. He was like talking about all of this on Instagram last night. I mean, he was responding to people who were asking him about it, but he was giving his side of the story.
It is what it is, man. I mean, I got nothing against Tyler. I know you don't either. Honestly, it's the heat of the game. You respect your opponent, but hey, man, we're trying to win. We're trying to. I mean, I don't know. I don't. In my opinion, to each his own, man. You do you. We're gonna do us. So
you don't think so? You guys don't think it'll be an issue going forward?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
All right, good. That's good to hear.
No.
All right, great. Now we can talk about other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yes, please. Yes, please.
If you guys don't mind, I'd like to go back to the World Series. And I know that people ask you about this stuff all the time, but I get the chance. Joe and I do a radio show together every week, and I talk to him. And it's funny, I actually haven't even really talked to him about winning a World Series. But for you guys and the group of guys, the group of kind of young guys that came up kind of around the same time. And Albert, let me start with you.
Okay.
What were those moments like when you realized what had happened, that you guys had achieved this goal, and now you were going from being the hunter to the hunted?
I thought it was really exciting, honestly. I think it was an exciting time coming in the next year after just winning a World Series, just because we were the target, you know, that year. And I still think we are, no matter what. No matter if we haven't won since, I think still teams are, I don't want to say fearful, but I think they really respect us just because we are a team that play, you know, together really well. I think, having that team still kind of together from the 16 team, I don't know. I think people just know that we mean business. No matter if we go through a rough stretch or not, they know that we're still the top of the, you know, the food chain, I guess.
Wilson, what about for you? I mean, you guys were, I'm not trying to say that you guys are old, because you're not. You're, like, way younger than I am. But to be so young and for you guys to succeed at that level, what did that mean to you?
I would say it's not easy at first, especially when you got caught up between right half a year, and you earned the respect from your teammates and your pitching, and then realizing that we achieved this goal after 108 years. It's just priceless. You know, priceless for us, priceless for the fans and the city that wait so long. But I have no, I don't have much to say about it, man. It's just impressive.
When you guys saw the outpouring, whether it was people like writing on the building, which I thought was crazy, with the chalk, or the parade itself, like, what was going through your mind?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect. It was my first year, the first couple months, just like us. So that's what we were, I guess, used to, or not used to, but like we were brought into this, into the big leagues, and all we did right away was to win. So I think the next year was the big learning curve for, I think, myself, and maybe for Willie too, when we lost, you know, and then we weren't the last team standing. So it's a learning curve for every part. Obviously, we're super fortunate to get to the league the same year in 16, and 3 months later we're world champs. Like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, it's that easy, huh? And then we're just gonna do it every year. So, and then the next year happens, and we go through the ups and downs all year, and then we get to, well, we're three or four games away from going to the World Series again, and then we lose, and then you're sitting in your locker like, man, this is reality. This is hard. This is super hard to do. And then, so you learn. You learn how to win, and you learn how to lose as well. And it sucks to lose, but it's a part of growing, and it's a part of forming. You know, when you work out, you tear muscles, and it grows harder. It grows bigger the next. You have to go through those things, man.
Wilson, what do you think you learned through that experience of winning and then winning but not winning at all over the next two seasons? What did you take from it?
I take a lot of things. The man, like I was saying, we won the 16, we lose 17 and 18, and
wait, before you finish, let me ask you one more thing. Did you think it was going to be easy in 17?
No, I never thought it was going to be easy because, like I was saying, we were the target, and until 2017, we were the target, and we clinched the playoff, but we lose. And at the time, like I was saying, we realized that this is real. This is the big leagues. You win and lose, and it's part of the game. It's part of the oral life. You have to learn how to win, how to lose, and then all of a sudden you have to just get ready for the next season, which we did, but we're still losing 2018 by one game. But that was a kick in our butts, which I think we needed it, and now we're ready to come back in 2019.
Back.
It's funny you say, do you think it's going to be easy when you ask that question? You think if you thought we were going to be easy to get there or to win? No, we didn't think it was going to be easy, but we knew we were going to be there, if that makes sense. You know, that's our mindset, like, oh, we're going to be in the World Series and we're going to win. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, but that's just how we were programmed. We're like, we don't know anything else. You know, and then when we lost, obviously, and then it sucks, but like we were saying, we learn, and then we get help from veterans like Riz and Hayward and Lester that been on both sides, and like, hey man, and, you know, I've been here when it was really bad, and now we're still moving in the right direction. So it's a learning curve.
Where does that confidence that you guys have come from? Because you guys were young, you were inexperienced, yet you were on a winning team. So how did you go from, okay, I made it to the major leagues, I'm also on a winning team. Yeah. Where do you develop that type of confidence?
I mean, it starts with yourself, man. Just know the type of player you are. Know that we're really good at this game. You know, no matter what, you just have to have that confidence. And it's hard, man. It really is. This game is what, 70-80% failure. Mm-hmm. And I have conversations with the guys all the time. Like, man, this game's really hard. Like, why are we wired this way where we come out and we know we're going to fail the majority of the time, but we love it and we want to come back the next day and we want to, you know, do better. And it takes a special human, man. And this is the only sport where you're on offense and you have no control of what's going to happen. Think about it. Basketball, you control your shot. Football, you control the pass. You control catching. And baseball, you could do everything right and not have any success for a week or two. And that's the frustrating and the special part about this game that I don't want to say people don't understand. Don't get me wrong. I know. But it does take more this than the physical side. And that's, I don't know. That's me.
You're shaking your head, Wilson. When did you kind of learn that? Like, when did you go, man, I kind of have to – I am wired that way, and here's what I have to do to be the best all the time.
I think everything started since I was a kid, you know. I always believe in myself. I always believe that I was going to play in the big leagues. And I used, when I was younger, I was a kid, I used to tell my dad and my mom that I was going to play in the big leagues. So I think how much it matters, how much do you believe in yourself and how much you can get, how much better you can get every year or every single day. And the trust and confidence that I have in myself, that we have in ourselves, is the key for the success.
We till this day, it's not easy, you know. You know, we're here, we're in the big leagues, we're considered the best of the best to do this game, to play this game. But there's nights there, you ask my wife, I go home and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I want to go fish somewhere or do something, but this game's hard. And I know you think the same. We have conversations the whole time. Like, damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck? No, we're pretty good, man, right? We do.
We're good, but it's part of the game, too, you know, especially as a catcher. When you're a catcher, you start overthinking a lot, like what's going on with the pitching staff, what's going on with this, what's going on with the defensive side, you know, like we start overthinking. And that's when the mental side comes into play. How strong can you stay in your mental side?
When you're low and things are going wrong, who do you guys lean on to get you back in the right place? Willie, let's start with you.
That's a good question. When I start overthinking, I want to stay away from everything. I mean, I don't even watch baseball at home because I know a lot of players like to watch baseball at home. But so my wife did not. Let's not talk about baseball. Let's not talk about anything. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about my family or something else. And I think that's one of the key that helps me to maintain my mental side.
Yeah. It all starts with yourself. Unfortunately, I mean, I have a great support system. I mean, I have two kids that keep me busy, and then, you know, obviously with a wife at home as well. I'm blessed, man. But no matter what, you could have people, the best people in the world telling you, hey, you're going to be fine, or whatever the case may be, and giving you all the positive reinforcement. But if you yourself don't buy into it or allow it, it's all for nothing. So it all starts with yourself. Like, all right, man, turn the page or whatever the case may be.
But can it be dangerous, too, to be swimming around?